Good morning. Oh, if I take this off, it'll be better, won't it? Thanks, Grant. Good morning. First of all, before I begin the talk, and then Heather and her team of readers come to read to us, I just wanted to say thank you to you all for your prayers for me in the last couple of years. It's a wonderful and slightly nervous thing, interestingly, to be here and speaking to you this morning, because it's the first time I've been able to do that in person since getting ill just over 2 years ago. I'm probably about 60% there in terms of my health now. And part of the reason for not being able to speak until now is it's taken a long time to recover my voice. I'm learning to sing again. Those of you who know me well will know that not being able to sing for over 18 months has been really tough. And so I'm grateful to you all for your support and your continued prayers. And I'm grateful to God for the ways in which he's supported and held and begun a long and slow healing work. I'd love it if he just got on and did it in one go, but unfortunately life doesn't always work like that, does it? And so we sit with the not knowing and the pain of unanswered prayer, and we all, in our different ways, know about that. And so thank you for standing with me and with my family in the last 2 years, and the ways that each of you, in different ways, many of you, have kind of shown that sort of generous mothering glove that we think about and celebrate on Mothering Sunday, because we all do that for each other, don't we? It's not just about nuclear families and the way that we care for one another. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence with us in the good times and the tough times. And I thank you for your words that we can read in the Bible. May we learn from you and grow more like you today. Amen. I wonder if you have a favourite story. I've brought along one of mine. Apart from the stories in the Bible, this one is one of my favourites. It's very old. It was given to my mum. It's the tale of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and it was given to my mum in 1948. And she used to enjoy reading it as a little girl. And when I was a little girl, I'd curl up alongside her and she'd read it to me. And now that my lovely mum isn't with us anymore, I have it on my bookshelf. And I really love the stories it holds and the pictures that it paints in the words, and also in the beautiful, lovely old illustrations that are inside it. I wonder if you have a favourite story, one that you love to go back to time and again. Stories are so important, aren't they? Have you ever read a story and imagined yourself there in its world? Have you ever got to the end of a story and wondered what would happen next? Made up the next part of the story yourself? Stories create new places in our imaginations. They invite us to be curious, to be present, to discover their treasures. They carry mysteries and truths about the world, and they help us to think in new ways. And the stories that Jesus told, we call them parables, don't we? They do just that. They carry mysteries and truths about the world, about God, and they help us to think in new ways if we let them. So this morning we're going to hear a well-known story that Jesus told. It's found in the book of Luke, and you might well have heard it before. But as we share this story together, can I invite you to listen to it afresh? To enter into the story in your imagination, to be curious, and to look for the treasures that this story holds. Now, I'd like to suggest three treasures that you can look out for in this story and to see where they can be found. This is our big, heavy Bible that usually sits on the lectern. Some of the treasures that we can find in this story, then. We open up the Bible, there are so many treasures for us to find, aren't there? The first of the treasures that I'd like to suggest that we might find in this story first treasure is lost. Now, that might not feel much like a treasure, but sometimes it's only when we lose something that we realise just how much we value it. Whether it's the favourite toy that gets left at grandma's, or the car keys that we search high and low for and then find deep down the side of the sofa. Lost is an important part of this story, but it's a sad and sometimes frightening thing. The next treasure that we're going to look out for, is found. Now that is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I wonder if you can remember a time when you have found something that you were looking for, or were found yourself. Can you remember how you felt in that moment? Finding something precious or being found is a really wonderful thing, isn't it? It's full of relief and of celebration. I found it, we call out to others. Found is an important part of this story. It is a wonderful and happy celebration that we want to share with other people. And the third treasure in this story is generous love, the best kind of love. Love that gives and then gives some more. Love that is patient and kind, that forgives and then forgives some more. Love that always hopes and perseveres. I wonder if you can picture someone who's loved you even a little bit like that. For me, I definitely think of my mum and Rich's mum too, especially today. They loved our family like that. Generous love comes from God, who is love, and who loves each one of us generously. We see God's love with all its wonder, celebration, and sadness in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we'll remember together later in this service. Generous love shown by good parents is one of the things we celebrate and give thanks for on Mothering Sunday. And generous love is an important part of this story. So I'd like you to use your imaginations this morning and be curious as you enter this story. Let's open up the Bible and let's listen to the parable of the lost son and the running father.
There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father,
"Father, give me my share of the estate."
So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said,
"How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'"
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his servants,
"Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," the servant replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father,
"Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with wild living, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him."
"My son,"
the father said,
"you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this, your brother, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
We had to celebrate. He was lost and is found. Lost, found, and generous love. Let's just look at three scenes from the story. Where do you see lost, found, and generous love in these scenes? Here is the younger son. All his parties are over and he's looking after pigs. For a Jewish boy, it can't get much worse than this. I wonder what he hoped for when he took his inheritance and left home. Freedom from expectations, the same old routines, being the youngest. Here he is, longing to eat the pig's food. And although he might not realize it until later, this is actually a wonderful moment in his life. He is completely lost and he knows it. In the story, it says he came to his senses. He's able to see and feel how things truly are. And he knows just what he needs to say and do at long last. I wonder, although he seems very lost, is this the moment where he begins to be found? We don't judge the younger son. We recognize that we are all, at one time or another, needing to see just how lost we have become and how much we need to say sorry and turn around and begin the journey towards God's generous love. In the next scene, being found. Dad looks into the horizon, recognizes, yes, the longed-for son, drops everything and runs to meet him. The running father, who loses his dignity and runs to hold his son. The son starts the speech he's prepared. He says how sorry he is, that's important, but he doesn't get far. He's wrapped up, held in generous love and interrupted by gifts. A ring which says, "You matter here, you're important." Sandals which say, "You're no servant, you're my son. Sons wear sandals. You belong. You were lost and now you're found. Call everyone. We need to celebrate. Raid the storeroom. We're going to party with the best food we've got. Lost, found, generous love. And here is the older son. Is he lost? In resentment? In anger? He can't see the joy and the celebration. Did you notice? He says, your son, not my brother. What brokenness? What separation? We don't judge him. We recognize the times when we can feel just like that, lost in resentment, in shoulds and have-tos, in anger and hurt. His father meets him with generous love, acceptance, and a choice. I wonder, what will happen next in the story? Jesus doesn't tell us. He's a good storyteller. He leaves us to wonder, to imagine. Will the older son bring himself to go in and join the party? Where is Mum in this story? We don't hear about her. I wonder, is she there? What might she do? And what happens when the party is over and the next day begins? When the long, slow road to healing a broken family can begin? I wonder what will help them to do this. Could it take courage? Time? A willingness to let go of anger? A lot of generous love? I wonder, which of these three scenes, we could move it on, thank you. Which of these three scenes do you most relate to? Who might you most want to be? The younger son? The child who knows he's lost and is finding their way home? That younger son found and held by the generous love of the father, knowing that they belong. The older son, who finally gets to voice the frustration, sadness, and anger he's been carrying around inside. The older son, met with acceptance, love, and choices to make. The father, looking with longing for his much-loved child to return. The father who is able to lay aside all thoughts of punishment and who loves lavishly, generously, with celebration and joy. What difference could generous love make to this family as their story goes on? Jesus' stories invite us to reimagine, to retell the stories in our own lives too. I wonder, lost, found, generous love. Where have you seen these in your own family? We know that Mothering Sunday, yes, it carries celebration, but it can also carry sadness and generous love. What difference could generous love like this make to your family, to your friendships, to your neighbours? Generous love is costly and can involve sadness as well as celebration. But being able to love like this begins with receiving the generous love that God lavishes upon each of us. We love because God first loved us. As we begin to step away from the story and carry its treasures into our lives, Let's take a moment to listen to some words from 1 Corinthians. And remember that this is the generous love that God has for each of us. For you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Let's just take a moment to pray and to reflect ourselves. Lord God, thank you that you love us, each of us, with the generous love that we see in that story, the generous love of a good father. The generous love of a good mother. May we be willing to recognize where we get lost. And in our turning to you, may we know the generous love that you long to give us, that you pour out upon us. May we be people who, knowing we are found and loved by you, point others to you and show and share your generous love with them. Thank you for your generous love. Amen.